Now, let me get a few things off my chest today, fellas. It's been a massive weekend of motorsport. It's been huge. MotoGP, F1, Supercross, World Superbikes. That it?
I think that's it,
that's
mate.
That's it, yeah. Yep.
And, you know, I've done my 33K run and that's what everyone wants to talk about. Okay, now.
What are you running from, Jim?
You, mate. You. Coming after me.
Massive show tonight. Massive. I mean, I don't even know where to start. We will firstly thank our great sponsor, Motor Heaven, as always.
Yeah, get down to motorheaven.com.au.
Link in our bio, guys. Get the link. You'll get, obviously, all the great deals, free shipping over $100.
Yeah, I think they've got like at least 15, 20% off some showies yep. And like GTR2s and HJCs as well. And the best thing about Motor Heaven is you don't pay full retail on anything.
100%.
And gotta awesome business, great people down there. You can't go wrong. They'll ship it within like one business day, whatever it is.
We've got the 5 minute.
I'm just trying to look after them.
Well, use the link. That's the simple thing, isn't it?
That's right.
James, how do people find us on Patreon as well? A lot of people asking.
It should be on our LinkedIn.
Linktree.
Sorry.
If you want a job with Motorsport Republica,
yeah, LinkedIn. Yeah, if you want to be a second producer, you're going to be into furry animes like Gertie. It's prerequisite.
He's not plugged in. He's not. Oh, I think he is actually.
Fuck off.
And Daniel, YouTube?
Like, comment, subscribe.
Subscribe.
Must always leave the space. Must always subscribe.
Thank you.
Yes. Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Spotify, you name it. Get on it. Show us some love, peoples.
Mm. Allows us to do more content and we've got some fun, funny stuff for MotoGP weekend, which we were just discussing before as well.
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah, we did. We have a massive week coming up there as well.
Jesus,
I mean,
Christ.
I don't know how we're going to fit it all in, but
I know.
Bloody hell, my head's going to fucking explode, I reckon.
Yeah,
and big enough.
It is.
Yeah.
And check out our shop. We've got the Make Honda Great Again hats, the Camel the Republica, Marlboro Republica beanies,
Anything helps, guys. Appreciate the support.
Nah, it's cool.
I mean, we'll start with MotoGP, I think, but like...
Misano number two.
Pecco Bagnaia. Daniel, take it away. Thoughts? Prayers?
Thoughts? Yeah. I'm sure he was praying for Bastianini to go and win that race, but... yeah, I don't know, man. It's just very interesting where the bike or how early he lost the bike.
But what happened at the start of the race? Like the tyres, he just couldn't get it. Like, were they all on the same rear tyre or did he have a hard or something?
No, I believe they were all on the medium. I think Bezzecchi was the only one that
with the soft on the soft. Yeah.
But how does he go that badly at the start of the race? He was doing 30.8 in the sprint and he couldn't get anywhere near at the start.
He was doing 31.
Yeah, 31s. He couldn't crack it at all.
But what's the difference?
Don't know, tyres. So I guess that tyre. I mean, we spoke about it so many times last year after Qatar, like, I think James might have a little bit of insight onto the tyre situation.
He had no grip from the start of the race and it was only until lap 15 when he obviously started making that comeback where he felt like he had more traction on the rear, which doesn't make any sense after 15 laps and suddenly it just hooks up. But he had no feeling on the front either.
Mm.
So he said he was pushing, but he said he was still braking 20 to 40 metres before his actual braking marker anyway and he still lost that front.
Jeez. Yeah, right.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a mystery. And Michelin's been obviously an issue with MotoGP. And it was an issue originally when they were and then it's so bad that Rossi went halfway through the season. Mm. But it's still been an issue. So
yeah,
it was a massive crash and it was a hard one to obviously see coming. I guess he could see it coming maybe because he was having those issues.
Yeah.
Bit harsh on Pecco because he is our sexy heaven dick of the week. Get down to sexy heaven for all your sexy products.
buzz.
and it is doing a Jorge Martin, but I also want to add it could still be a sexy heaven dick on the week of just Michelin. Like, I just feel like they're not getting their shit together either.
No, they can't seem to be. I mean, a lot of riders are struggling to hook it up from the start though.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, he had poor starts all weekend. I don't think Marquez had the greatest starts all weekend, even through practice and practice starts, couldn't hook it up. And
yeah, they said that like the Ducati, that's probably their Achilles heel is their start device.
Yeah, it seems to be a bit of an issue for
KTM.
Them.
KTM looks like Binder put it up to what?
Yeah, third? Oh, he had an amazing start.
Yeah, third and it dropped out. But yeah, it's interesting. I mean, like,
Jorge Martin's done a few good starts. And look, if you're on the dirty side of the track on those tires, it's almost game over.
Makes it worse.
Where, you know, you used to be able to, even if you're on the dirty side of the track, you could still pull a hold shot.
Yeah.
But now it's almost, if the track's pretty cooked. And I don't know how they're going to help Phillip Island. I reckon there's going to be issues there.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think we'll get a lot of comments on tyre wear pretty early on. A lot of pissed off riders, that's for sure.
Could be another pit stop type of race like 2013.
Yeah.
That makes it exciting. But also, like, it's another challenge. And I think another challenge is a good thing.
But you know what? Like, Phillip Island, I'm sorry, it just needs... Can we just have a normal weekend?
Yeah.
No rain, no winds. Like, we didn't have a sprint race last year.
Yeah. And then the year before was, like, couldn't get in there on the Sunday. And then obviously we missed 2 years with COVID. You're right. Like, we just want a normal...
Just give us a normal sunny weekend. Like, just normal weekend.
Yeah, just no rain, no wind.
Yeah.
Start us off with some sprint race results, Daniel.
Yeah, absolutely, man. What do we got? Pecco Bagnaia, Jorge Martin, Enea Bastianini, top three in the sprint. Marc Marquez, Pedro Acosta, Brad Binder, Fabio Quartararo, Marco Bezzecchi, Franco Morbidelli, and Maverick Vinales.
Yeah.
Your top 10.
Fraud.
Fraud watch. Main race, Enea Bastianini, Jorge Martin, Marc Marquez, top three. Marco Bezzecchi, Franco Morbidelli, Maverick Vinales, ooh, Fabio Quartararo, Aleix Espargaró, Alex Marquez, and Miguel Oliveira.
Oh, top 10. Steppy.
Special shout out, I think we all agree, Quartararo, main race.
Yeah. Amazing, man.
Was he the top non-Ducati rider?
No.
Maverick
was a spot ahead of him in sixth.
Okay, gotcha.
But top Japanese bike.
Yeah, which is, and then Honda 11th and 12th.
11 and 12, man.
Yeah, that was great.
That's not a bad.
Almost worthy of performance of the week of those guys.
Well, seriously. I actually had it in my notes, and
I think they listened to our Patreon episode.
I think they did.
Yeah, make Honda great again. This is all falling in place.
I think that Honda, it seemed like throughout the whole weekend, made a step forward. And I think that test they had on that Monday after the previous round.
Well, I think the head engineer, Ichi Wichi Kawawa, listened to our podcast and was like, all right, we've got to step up. We're getting made fun of three losers in Melbourne.
Bro, we are number one. We're number one. Like, fuck.
Number one motorsport podcasts in the world.
Number one. Well, it's interesting, just touching on like the Japanese bikes, how's Yamaha running V4s next year?
It's going to be next year, is it?
What they're saying, So that's interesting for, obviously, Miller coming onto that bike. Got a few great hot takes coming about Miller. Stay tuned for that at the towards the end of the show. But yeah, that's going to be a really big thing for them.
Yeah,
is that 100%. Something they can develop? And you reckon it's going to be a good engine straight away, or do you reckon it's going to take a couple of years? Or
I think
it just depends.
You can get famously Rossi changed it's a bit different, but they changed the development of that engine from 03 to 04. When he tested the 03 Yamaha going to 04 when he jumped onto Yamaha, but going to a whole new V4, I think he can do it, and the Japanese can definitely do it. They're proven, but like it would be, it's not just the engine as well. Like you've got so much to do with aerodynamics and all that as well. So it's only
weight distribution.
It's only a piece of the puzzle.
But I think it's a good start for them.
It's a great start, and it's good.
It's a step in the right direction for sure.
Definitely.
And it's going to filter down to their road bikes eventually as well. Word on the street.
So is it the way to go, isn't it? Bike development.
Seems to be. If you want to get power out of a bike.
Yeah, the V4 is
like in there.
Usable power, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, and weight in the weight as well. I think that's the other thing. It's super interesting. So we'll see. That's good. They're trying different things. I think it's a good thing. And it's exciting for us.
Yeah, 100%, man.
So what do we think about Jack on that bike, that Pramac? Like, do you reckon he's taking a spot off a young rider? Do you think he deserves a seat there? What do you guys think? I've been dying to ask.
I think like it's obviously great that there's an Aussie on the grid, and I'm always going to be partial to that. I just think he can, at least for the year he's got that contract, bring a lot of development in. He's just so experienced with riding different manufacturers and how they work that now they've got a brand new motor. He's going to know how to ride that.
Mm.
So
it's a good point.
It could still work even if you put a rookie on there because he doesn't know any different. So he's a blank canvas. Yep. So there's two ways you can look at it. But I think for the experience, it's just hard because if it was me, you've got Step Bro in Oliveira and then you've got Miller. It's two older, experienced riders where the younger team is normally maybe one old head and then a rookie. So, but he's only, I think, are they both on a year deal?
I know Jack is. I don't know about Miguel.
I don't
know
if Oliveira
is. I think Miguel's 2 years.
Yeah, so like, if it was me, look, maybe I'm just biased, but I'll have Miller over
James, Oliveira. I know you're like step bros on fucking Fraud Watch for you, but he's got talent, that kid.
Yeah,
Oliveira's got talent. Man. He's won 2 races.
I think he's won more than 2 races.
2 MotoGP races?
I think he's won more than that.
Okay.
He does.
He does.
You can have all the talent in the world, but if you don't put that in the results,
yeah,
that's the difference.
Yeah, exactly. You can argue that for Jack, though.
Oh, true.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? But I think from a developmental standpoint, 1,000,000% was the right decision to help grow and build the team, especially if they're going to bring that V4. It's such a fine line, but the talent pool's so deep in Moto2.
Yeah.
You know, some of these guys might miss out in general. Guys, we've got a fantastic offer coming to you for this month and this month only. 15% off Pirelli tyres at motoheaven.com.au. Now, our friends are running this awesome deal on the Supercorsa V4s, the Rosso Corsa 4, the Rosso 4, and the Angel GT2. Wild, because Pirelli barely goes on sale. And to get 15% off is mind-boggling,
huge,
in all honesty.
Huge.
It's crazy.
It is.
Guys, you never pay full price at Motor Heaven.
It's the best.
All orders over $100, free shipping. Amazing.
It is. It's great. And they literally have the best website in the country. It's so easy to use. They're unbiased. You can get any brand you want. They'll send it out. It is amazing. They've got parts finders, tire finders. Go to motoheaven.com.au. You can grab whatever you want. Shelly helmets, AGVs, Dineasy, Alpine Stars. They literally have it up. Chains, sprockets, whatever you want for your bike. KX250, R1, motoheaven.com.au.
Best in the business,
best
guys.
We love it.
Rins has got to be like, he's got to have serious consideration that it's going to be his last year. He can't just keep riding and get injured.
Well, he was
all
even racing on the weekends.
No, he's been.
He's a liability.
Man, he's been out more races than in the last 2 years, 100%. Like, he's been out a lot. Like, you can't have a factory team trying to strive for a world championship with a rider who just gets injured all the time.
I think next year, if he's not doing anything,
it has
anything,
to be done.
Then.
Well, that's where Oliveira has the chance. If he has a good year, he's
that'll
in that
be
factory
the feeder. The feeder program into it.
It's a good point. It's a good point. Great point.
Yeah. Daniel, Morbidelli Fraud Watch had another shot at it. It's his home track. He should have done better. He should have been on the podium in that race.
He got fifth, but remember you had Pedro, Binder, Banyaya
crash
in front of him. Not to say that he might not have passed
I reckon he could have had it. He has the bike. He has the track knowledge. He was up there. He was up there last week,
that's
2 weekends
true, man.
Ago. I was really expecting high things for him.
I saw both of you guys put in him top five.
He popped me in there. You made me put him in there because I saw you put him in there. I said, oh, fuck, I've got to put him in.
Oh, I was going to do it. I saw you two and I was like, nah, I'm not going to do it.
I was super disappointed.
There. I think his qualifying hurt him a lot. And there was a few laps there where he was stuck behind Quartararo for a while.
He
couldn't make a pass and he dropped back a little
bit.
Then obviously caught back up and made the move. So I think it could have been a lot better, definitely. And I think if that hadn't happened, he would have definitely closed in on Bez, especially having that softer tyre and falling away towards the end. But, look, neither here nor there. I'm Morbidelli
he's on the verge for me. Like, I thought he had a great weekend until he crashed last week.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
Sorry, last round.
Yeah, he did.
He was on a podium contention for the sprint.
But you also got to think...
What was the main race?
Main race, yeah.
You also got to think you're going into then... And the same track,
yes.
So everyone's got the same knowledge.
That's right.
So then people can catch up, learn from the mistakes.
So does that mean he's not as talented as those riders ahead of him then?
Well, I don't think he's as talented as Pedro Acosta.
No.
And I don't think he's as talented.
Who is, though?
Yeah, I don't think he's as talented as, obviously, Jorge Martin, Banyaya, Marc Marquez. You know, so.
True.
Or Marco Bezzecchi.
Just thought he had it. Like, this could have been his shot this weekend. I really feel
I think it was his best chance to take a main race podium, for sure.
100%. And I think, he was my biggest disappointment for the week.
Yeah.
Weekend.
Fair enough, man.
How was the, what do you guys think of the move?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah,
love
awesome.
It. Love it.
Yeah.
It was a great move.
Yeah.
It's funny. It does. I feel like the world does revolve around us because we're literally talking about being the villain.
Yep.
Yeah.
Then Bastianini just pushes him out
and
wide.
And thank fuck. He didn't get a penalty because they would have fucked MotoGP
forever.
Because that would have been, you're never allowed to make that move again. And it could have changed the line of history.
But I think they were saying if he had have gotten a long lap penalty, he still would have won because Martin backed out.
I mean, how stupid was that?
you know. And I was watching, if you watch it properly, he sort of gets tagged on the rear, Bastianini, as he's making the corner. He runs off because he looks back.
Exactly right. He would have actually made that corner.
If he doesn't look back.
That's a good point. That's a great point.
He actually, it looks like he makes that corner.
He like gets actually off the curb. He actually goes left to get off the curb.
He actually sits his bike up and looks behind.
Yeah.
So I don't think, but I don't think it's as bad as what people are making out to be. I loved watching it.
Yeah, and I loved it as well.
Seeing it happen as soon as they sort of sat up.
Yeah.
I was like,
screaming at the TV.
You get the cynics, all the complaints today, but like.
But if the people that complain are the people that would also say, oh, I should have made the move.
Yeah, like, that's right.
What do you want?
You can't win.
Yeah.
And like I said to Danby last night, he was carrying on about, I said, Mark, if Marquez did that, you'd be fucking up and cheering.
100%.
You'd be like, oh, how good is he?
No clue, but, you know.
Well, and he's going to listen to this, but no, he called me an idiot. You're an idiot. You've been shafted. Because that was a fucking good move.
That was a great move.
Even Wayne Gardner commented on, I think, like everything motor racing or something like that. And he's like, nah, that's fair racing. Like,
that's
motorbike racing.
That is MotoGP.
It's the last lap of a Grand Prix.
Yeah.
Who hasn't done that?
Yeah.
That's right.
We've gone soft. That's the thing. The whole society's gone soft. So that's the thing. Everyone's going to complain and complain and complain.
Yeah.
That's the best thing about MotoGP is those moves are allowed. That's the best thing.
It was awesome to see, man. You know, how's this for a stat, right? Bastianini never been off the podium at a Misano race.
No shit. Jeez,
there you go.
Through his whole career.
There you go.
That's pretty wild, eh?
Yeah, that's a wild start.
Unbelievable, though, man. Like, I think he was offered in the sprint.
Sprint.
But in a main race, he's always been on a podium.
Well, speaking of main races, so Bags, third DNF on a Sunday. Is it going to cost him a world championship?
Nah, not yet. I'm not convinced.
I was looking at the sort of overview of the season.
Mm.
And he's punished Martin on a Sunday when Martin's had a bad result. He's been on a podium or at one.
Yep.
Take the sprint out of it. It's different. It's almost game over.
Bro, Martin hasn't won on Sunday since Le Mans.
Yeah.
That's mind-boggling.
That's mind-boggling. That's like round, what, six?
But he's had quite a few seconds, which I think is the difference from last year.
Yeah, true.
It definitely is. And obviously he's punished Pecco in the sprints.
Yeah.
So every time Pecco's had a terrible result or fallen off in the sprint, he's won.
Yeah. Well, it's safe to say the sprint race coming in has been the best thing for Martin. Over the last 2 years, it's probably
kept him in the hunt.
Otherwise, it would have been a bit of a blowout.
Yeah, which has actually probably been good for the sport because it actually probably – I know it's not traditional to have two races.
No, 100%.
But it keeps these guys who have different skills in the championship, and his skill is one lap pace and obviously those shorter races. So. Mm. Interesting. It's good for the sport, and it's good for us.
100%, man.
I came home fucking legless on Saturday night. I turned it on. I go, nah, I got to watch it tomorrow morning. But it was something good to watch in the morning. Like it was, it's good to watch. So.
It is good fun. It's going to be interesting though. It's still a tough championship to call.
Yeah.
I still think Martin's due for a couple of blunders, to be honest.
Yeah. Mentally,
you know,
he's got another crash up his sleeve on a Sunday, and Pecco will win that race.
And there's a few people throwing it out there that Bastianini's going to come in and pick up his pieces for this.
Yeah, people were saying that about Marquez. I think it's a two-horse race.
Yeah.
I think it's a two-horse race.
Look, I think it very much is. But in saying that, let's just say the next round they fucking take each other out in the main race and either Marquez or Bastianini comes through 25 points, that gap's narrowed down to 30.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
You never know, obviously.
Like, it could really heat up.
There's just so many points on offer now these days with the sprint. Like,
that's what I mean.
Yeah.
You know, you can claw back heaps of points.
It doesn't seem like they've had too many huge battles though. Marquez, Bagnaia, or like it's always just been one's got out in front and that's really it.
You can't follow anymore though, James.
Yeah, that's the problem.
You got to go back 2 seconds behind and then attack when your tires are.
Well, the sprint race was good because Bagnaia, I think, worried him out of it. I think he had something Martin come up on his dash and he ran wide.
Yeah,
and kind of did a and just worried him out of
well,
it.
Well, I'll tell you a little tidbit for you, James, while you're on that. So Martin came out and said, I did a small mistake and paid heavily. I lost a bit of concentration. He received a track limits warning on his screen.
That's what it was.
And it fucked with his head. What I think was really interesting about this is are they gonna have earpieces in next year. Imagine how that's gonna fuck with
you. You're leaning off the bike and shit. Fuck you.
There's no way, man. We spoke about it last time. I don't want to dive into it. You just can't have it.
No.
It's not, like you said, it's not safe if something happens.
It's not safe. What's, you're in the middle of a corner like this and they go, yellow flag. Like, is that how they're going to use it as a safety feature?
You'd only have to use it when you're upright on a bike. There's no way you can use it mid-corner.
If they're going to talk to everyone at once, like over the safety, it doesn't matter where you are, they're going to say it.
You can't.
It doesn't make sense.
I don't think it's...
No.
You'll get riders that won't wear it.
Yeah, well, I think Bagnaia has won and Acosta's won.
100%. But yeah, interesting race, man, all in all. You know, I thought at one stage Pecco was going to come back and potentially fight. And I strongly believe if he hadn't have dropped that bike, he would have picked up the pieces in that corner.
Yeah.
Because I think he would have caught him.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. As you said before, we were sitting down, you said, I think that Bags could have won that race. And I tend to agree. He was coming. Like, he was
lightning, man.
He was like 4-6 seconds, and then he went on my phone or something, and then it was like 1.8. I'm like, wow, like, it can just change so quickly. I thought in his head he was saving tyres the whole race, but obviously he had some trouble. But
yeah. There were a few times you could actually see the bike just not hooking up at all,
yeah,
and it was just sort of bobbling around, yeah, and he was just getting sort of caught up to or passed quite easily. So
yeah,
Michelin, get your shit together.
What's the something going on
what
there?
What was the go with the insects and qualifying?
There was freaking heaps of them,
like,
man.
I've never seen anything like that.
I just saw it on camera, but I didn't know what
there
was going on.
It's like a plague.
They had to pull their, like, they had so many visor tear offs. Like, I've never, it had like a plague or something, they said, that came over.
Oh, yeah.
So weird.
It was pretty wild.
It was on like the north end of the circuit. Bro, you know those three right handers?
Yeah.
Is that the most difficult corner on the calendar?
That third. It'd have to be pretty.
Bro.
It's pretty hard, man.
Bagnaia is a fucking demon through isn't he?
But all through the categories, you saw Moto3, Moto2, you saw like Arbolino have his issues, but just stopping, and they all have different like breaking points. So you see like you're gathering and then you're sort of like the Constantine effect.
True.
Yeah, it was like, I reckon that's one of the hardest things to like nail, that
perfect
corner. Yeah. And it wasn't the game. You used to play the game. Remember how that corner was?
Mm. So you always make up so much time.
It is pretty hard.
I'm just trying to think of other corners that are super tough, but like that would be, that'd have to
get
up
right
there. To get right, to go fast.
The
left-hander,
the last left-hander at Valencia, I reckon would be hard corner.
Yeah, because it's the same thing.
Same thing.
Down.
Breaking off, and you're on a lean as well. Breaking.
Same with Sepang, but that right going onto the back, kind of that back straight.
Yeah,
it's similar to Valencia.
That sequence, the left, the right, is a bit difficult as well. Yeah, there's a few.
Yeah, braking, I think, while on a lean angle is always a tough, tough corner, isn't it? Because naturally the bike just wants to run out wide, so.
And then if you've got like four riders around you as well.
Yeah. I love that Sepang track because there's so many lines you can take through different corners.
Yeah, we always talk about that last corner.
Yeah, they re-cambered that, didn't they, a few years ago. So
yeah.
It's like off camber now, so. You can go in tight, you can come out wide, like
it's really cool. You actually just go into the corner how your bike, you would see just for example, Yamaha would take a tighter line where a Ducati can take a sweeping line, whatever it is.
When's the Pang on? Is that after Philip Bot? No, that's Thailand.
I'm not too sure.
It must be after Thailand.
Quickly get it up for you, no?
Yeah. It's always like a really interesting and like it's really cream rising to the top at that point.
Where are we next? I think it's Mandalika.
Mandalika.
As well.
Yep.
Is that this weekend coming or the weekend after?
No, this weekend.
This weekend.
Oh, no shit. How good's that? That's highways.
It's a big trip for them to go from Italy to
Indonesia
in 1 week.
Yeah, isn't it?
It's a long trip. Yeah.
Then Japan, 4th to the 6th.
Yep.
Phillip Island, 18th to the 20th.
Yeah, baby.
Thailand, 25th to the 27th. And then we've got a little break. No, it's next week after again, I think.
It's a triple header, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Malaysia, 1st to the 3rd
of
November.
And then a three-week break.
And then a break, Valencia.
Oh, so Malaysia's always the second last, isn't it?
Second last.
Obviously, we spoke about last week with Rossi and Marquez.
So Mandalika, Japan,
Australia. Thai.
Yeah, beautiful. How good's that? God, I can't wait for MotoGP.
So, boys, got some news about the team principals in MotoGP.
Yeah, KTM.
Yeah, let's talk about it. So obviously Pedrosa's been sort of linked to take over Francesco
Guidotti's
role, but I think I heard today he's actually turned it down. He didn't want to travel the whole year. So he's turned it down, and it looks like Guidotti's going to be replacing Alberto Puig at Honda.
That's a great get for Honda.
That's it, inside cost.
They listen to the 10-point plan. 100%.
Yeah, true. 100%. Great point. Yeah. And then Aki Ayo to replace Guidotti at KTM.
So Mick Doohan going to be racing. Mick Doohan going to be racing next year as
get
well.
Get the thumb breakout.
But I thought you'd like that, James and Daniel, because, exactly right. It sort of fell out of what we were saying. So.
I like that too, Aki Ayo up into GP.
Oh, that's cool.
He's good, man.
Yeah.
So he's a team owner at the Moto3 and 2 team.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. So he's team owner. So and team.
It's like factory KDM, but it's KDM IO,
yeah,
which is factory KDM.
Yeah. He can look over the whole, you know.
And he's Caboodle, proven, like, he's put how much talent through those two teams.
But well, imagine the last three world champions in Moto2.
There you go.
Gardner, Fernandez, and Acosta.
Yeah.
So it would have been interesting to see what Pedrosa could bring, though. I mean, he would still have some say in that team.
He'll still be involved for sure, but it would be, you're 100% right, how he would transition into that role.
Mm. You know what, though? I don't blame him for the travelling. Like, if he's travelled since he's, like, 16.
Yeah.
That's around, and you're away for 6 months, 7 months of the year, like, sleep deprived. Remember when we talked to some of the mechanics and GP and, like, you know, it's just a hard slog.
Well, John 100%. Hopkins last year, remember?
That's what it was.
We were talking to him in the back of the paddock, and he's like, bro, I haven't been home in like 4 months.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Like, he's like, I haven't been home. Like, to go all the way back to the States or to Europe, it's just too far. Like, in these next rounds, we have 5 rounds in Asia over the next six weeks.
Same as last year.
It's crazy. It's a lot of traveling in that. Formula One doesn't do that.
And even when you're in Europe, like when we're talking to, shout out to Jacob Woolstone and Leah Woolstone, his mum, like they're only back home in their home base and wherever they are in Spain or whatever for like a day or two.
Joel said
the same thing. Like
you don't even unpack your suitcase.
Yeah, just about. And then you're back out again. So
what are they complaining about though? They're doing what they love, I suppose.
Well, yeah, no, that's awesome. But, like, if you're Danny Pedrosa and done it for 20 years or whatever, then you're cooked.
Does he have a young family as well?
You'd assume so, for the sake of assumption.
Oh, I don't know.
But, yeah, that, you know, that could be a factor as well.
Yeah, young kids and stuff. You want to see him grow up. You don't want to be traveling all the time. And if he doesn't need to do it, he doesn't need the cash either. I mean, just stay on your couple of wild cards and enjoy your life.
That's it, man.
He's done his dash, you know.
Exactly. You gotta love it. Like, look at Hervé Poncharal has been doing it for years. Luke Cecchinello.
Another one.
He's been around for donkey's years. Ooh.
He's got the fucking beers going in the background.
A couple of Fosters.
He would as well. If Curtis started drinking, he'd drink Fosters. That's fucking so accurate.
Foster Lager.
Yeah, I love it.
So do you reckon there's gonna be a point in the season, fellas, when it's gonna bottleneck and What's the percentage of Martin and Bagnaia taking each other out at some point this season?
It's got to happen, man. Yeah, it's due to happen. They have not done it at all.
They've hardly raced.
I don't think last year they didn't even come close to taking each other out. Nah. Except when Martin almost ran the back of him in the last race of the year.
Yeah.
True.
We'll let one of the Marquez boys take Bagnaia out.
Yeah. It's got to happen somewhere.
That's going to happen, I think, first. I think Mark Marquez and Bagnaia or something like that.
But just Martin and like just they're going to be, because there's going to get a point where every point's crucial now. But if you're 3 rounds to go,
I still think Martin will get flustered.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I think for as much maturity that is shown, I think there's little bits that are now really starting to show more, like those little sort of moments, like post-race, and even as soon as he got pushed off the track, the throwing of the arms.
How funny was giving the bird over the line? Yeah. That was so funny.
Yeah, it was.
It's also we'd love to see it.
Yeah, we love the good character.
It's a fair move, man.
It's good to see some personality, and they're all good at the end.
But of course you're going to be hot-headed as well. Like, being in his shoes, you're going to think, this is ridiculous, but it's just a hard but tough, fair move.
The other thing you got to look at, if it's like Sepang we spoke about, and they're even on points in the main race, and it's Martin behind Bags, and he's going to the last corner.
Oh,
he's going to send it. Like, he's going to send it. If it's going to stick, it's going to stick. Like, that's going to be the other thing. Or if he's behind on points and he needs those points, like,
yeah it's going to be interesting.
It's just, you know,
wait.
What? Valencia is such a shit finale track.
I think it is.
They need to change that.
What should be the finale track?
Like Sepang or something, but it probably has to be in Europe, doesn't
it'll
it?
It'll have to be in Europe, for
like
sure.
Portimao or something like that would be cool.
I don't rate Portimao.
What? Awesome track. It's like one of the best tracks on the calendar. What are you talking about?
Maybe Jerez could be a good...
Jerez would be awesome, but...
Yeah, but I love that at the start of the season.
Good for the flyaways.
Yeah.
For the Europeans, sorry.
Yeah.
It's good at the start.
I think what the other thing is with Jerez,
like
Le Mans could be good.
Bring Estoril back.
Well, they're saying that Portimao's gone for Hungary next year. That's going to be that's a little word.
I don't mind that.
Word
like,
on the street.
Portimao's neither here nor
there.
Dude,
that Hungary track just on that actually looks sick.
Yeah.
They actually had to change a little bit from, because they had to get it all approved, obviously, but it looks really, really cool. It's got a little fag, little fucking chicane in there. It could have, like, it's a long straight, but they did like an Austria. Oh, I know. But it's the opposite. So it's a really tight left hander and then a flowing right hander, where Austria is a flowing left into a tight right. So hopefully, fucking, we'll see something different.
For the homo allegation.
Oh my god! Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I like that.
But yeah, that's it looks really good, and I think like you have to have a long straight to make racing really interesting.
Yeah, you do.
Because a long straight at in Misano would be cool. Like, there's just nowhere to really gather the speed and pass.
You know what though? Sepang would be a good. I don't give a fuck about Europe, honestly. I think Sepang would be,
of course,
a good finale.
But I think
that track promotes racing.
They have that finale bloody internationale thing in Spain.
Yeah, that's right. Because I think that's where the headquarters.
That's where the headquarters is.
Ah, the FIM. Yeah.
Did you see what the shortest straight on the calendar was? I was surprised by that. Shortest front straight on the calendar is
not Sachsenring.
No, it's not. It's the Dutch.
Oh, Assen.
Assen.
Yeah, it's tiny.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, of course. And, I wouldn't have thought of that.
And Misano's second shortest.
Yeah.
I thought the same thing with Sachsenring, but it's not. So just a little bit of a T-shaped tip here for you.
Sachsenring goes up.
Yeah.
So it's a bit...
It'd be cool if they went back to Nürburgring again. Superbikes used to race there not even that long ago.
Nürburgring's an awesome track, yeah. But yeah, I think it's got to be in.
It's just Valencia is a shit. It's just a go kart track.
Yeah, it's not that good.
You're right though. You could swap Jerez with Valencia.
Nah,
the Jerez is too good as the opener for
first
the Euros.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind Le Mans. Like, I don't think that'd be a bad one to finish off at.
Yeah,
the French would go wild.
That's what I mean. Like, that'd be pretty decent.
It's just a weird time because it's freezing cold.
That's right.
So like maybe, I don't know where Valencia is, if it's a more southern Spain.
Of course it is. That's why they go there. Because it'd be the last hot area in Europe.
And it's still cold when they do testing.
Yeah, yeah.
But it'd be a good track to be a spectator at because you can look over that whole track on those back grandstands.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just, I don't know.
I think we've just come back to the point where it's probably should just stay at Valencia.
We've got the weather,
it has to be in Spain. Like,
what we'll do is we'll get the uncle of the podcast, Uncle John, to redo the track.
Yeah, redo the track 100%. Yeah, 10-point plan, make Valencia great again.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. I mean, what would you change? I suppose it just needs to be bigger, doesn't it? It's just too short.
It needs
short
to be bigger.
Like, it's just so frustrating with there's no easy pass on that track.
Even the first corner is a hard pass. It's too much of a sweeper. It's the second corner is the place.
Passing, yeah.
Because you get two lefts, a left again, and then everyone crashes on that first right because they've got a cold side of the tire.
Yeah, Martin and Marquez last year.
That was a big crash.
Mm, that was big.
Anyway, they're going to take each other out and it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, and it's going to be awesome for us. Like, and at this point, watching it, I do not give a flying fuck who wins now. Whoever wins deserves the championship.
Yeah.
Martin's had his chance. Bagnaia's had his chance.
I don't know, man. I'm still not sold on Martin.
If Martin wins, though, it would be, I reckon, one of the most emotional championship wins.
Oh, because especially since last year.
Last year, being kicked out of the team, taking the number one plate to Aprilia. Like, because he was even emotional on Parc Fermo after he lost. He looked like he was like...
Yeah. I think he's that kind of person that shows it too.
Yeah.
The Spanish. I think that... It would be amazing for the sport if Martin wins.
Yeah,
because he takes that one number one plate to Aprilia, which would be awesome. And it's not the same guy winning 3 years in a row either. Yeah. So
it would be good.
My heart says that I would like to see Martin win the championship.
Mm. Yeah, I'm with you. But
my head says I don't give a fuck because whoever deserves it. As long as there's no shit calls like what
pressures and all that
pressures,
stupid shit,
dud tires in Qatar, that kind of thing, like
track limits and all that kind of crap.
Yeah.
But if Pecco caps it off, man, that's a stellar job, three on the trot.
Oh, for sure. Like, well deserved. And like he's ice
take
cold
him
enough.
Seriously.
He's ice cold enough to come back easily.
Yeah. 100 wins for Ducati as well.
Yeah.
Since
you know what?
GP.
And they won the championship, didn't they?
When these things happen.
As if that wasn't going to happen, but
that
was just a formality.
Yeah, wasn't it ever. When these things happen, though, I swear it's never the main rider that will win the 100
no,
wins.
No, that's right.
I think Kel Crutchlow won one for Honda. It's Philip Island.
Oh,
it was like a
certain
amount of wins and fucking Cal Crutchlow won it. Cal Crutchlow's fucking done nothing.
Oh, yeah. Legend of the sport, but...
Now, that's a throwaway line when you got nothing to say.
Jump on Moto2, bruh. Well, give us some results.
Oh, my God.
And get your leg around that side of the...
I can't. Otherwise, I'll be right next to the camera. You heard what I said.
What if the YouTube will take that as their one? Interesting.
Nah,
you'd be right, bro. Don't stress.
Stop stressing,
I know,
Kirby.
Man. Jeez.
Anxious. You got a Ritalin or something.
Don't medicate me.
Moto 2. He's squeaking.
Oh, far out. Come on, Shisho. One of the best races I've ever seen Moto2. I say that every week, but that was a great race.
What a brilliant race.
Yeah.
Celestino Vietti, Aaron Canet, bridesmaid again.
Oh, my God.
And Tony Arbolino, top three. Aya Gura, Fermin Aldeguer, Joe Roberts, Senna Agis, Marcos Ramirez,
yep.
Alonso Lopez, Philip Salach. I think that's 10.
Yep. Isn't there numbers there? Bloody hell.
That's 10. Philip Salach rounding out the top 10.
Shout out Senna Agis, amazing ride. What he's done on that bike first year. I'm so looking forward. He's staying on that bike next year, and his teammate is going to be
Manny Gonzalez,
that's
pod favorite.
That's going to be that's a Motorsport Republic team. It is.
Did he go? No, thing, isn't it? Colin Vaya?
No.
Gonzalez.
Gonzalez is coming, remember, because we spoke about.
Oh, yeah, my apologies.
Motorsport Republica.
It's going to be on
Liqui
there.
Molly sponsored. Husqvarna.
Now, Husqvarna's gone, bro. They sold it to Honda or something.
Yeah.
Oh, no. True.
And then Honda will fucking run it into the ground.
Yeah, true. Ichiwi Nawa will fucking.
That's a restaurant in Port Fitzroy, bro. He owns it. look, Canet blowing it.
Can we just take appreciation for that? He came out of the unlosable last corner. Whoever makes that corner first wins that race. I've only ever seen that person win. And he also somehow
had
bottled
4 to 5 bike length lead as well. Like, did he just cover the inside line or something? Like, is that what happened?
Nah, Vietti was right up his ass in those last few corners.
Bro, no. He had at least 2 or 3 bike lengths on him.
Nah, not going into the last corner. No way. He was right on him.
No way he was right on him.
I swear, from the race I watched, he was.
Bro,
we need to watch it.
He had a fucking lead. He had like a 3 or 4 bike lead. He had it break so late and then somehow got it up. Like, rewatch it, I'm telling you. It was much more than you think.
Okay. I'll have to get it back up.
He lost the unlosable race.
He did.
And I couldn't believe it. I was shook.
And Arbolino, what the hell?
Gearbox triumph. Bro. Shit house. Three cylinders, man, I'm telling you.
That's a travesty.
It's a bit of a common
But you know
theme.
What? And I said this to you before. What he said in the post-race interview goes, you know what? It's back. Like, I got it back. I got the tires. I know what I'm doing. Mm. Let's move on. Like, instead of fucking crying about it, typical, you know, what the Spanish would have done. So it's good.
He did well to stick it out the front for most of that race.
He deserved the win.
Yeah, he did.
I would say Canet probably is the least deserving of that win, so probably fair
enough.
Well,
I even said, like, I was watching it, I'm like, oh, you might as well just throw a blanket over Canet because he's not going to win.
Yeah.
It's just going to be out of them two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he just, I can't get over it. This is my tears, like, you know, I get hooked onto something. I can't get over how he lost it.
It's just panic.
I know, yes. I don't know what.
And it's fair play to Vietti too, because a few laps before he had a few moments where he really dropped off.
I thought he was gone.
I was like, oh, that's it. It'll be
massive moments.
It'll be out of these two. And then they just sort of slowed up and bang. Again, cutting all those laps at that track.
Yeah.
He knows it inside out.
But
so
I like.
Didn't help more with Ellie, but.
They're my two favorite young gun riders, but I love Chalicino and Vietti and Tony Arbolino.
Well.
They're good. They're great. And humble.
Yeah.
Arbolino, I was not a fan of him at all last year. Now I'm like I'm jumping on the board.
Tiger Tony.
Yeah, I love Tiger Tony. So what a sick bloke.
If you're listening, send us some merch.
And get out, come on the pod. Colorado. Get on the pod for Mapillo Bowling weekend. What do you reckon?
Yeah, true. Get him going. Get Pino hit him up.
We can do it in Italian if he wants to. We can do both.
I'll be like Glorious Bastards.
Yeah.
Buongiorno.
Yeah.
See.
Bobbity, bobbity, boobity, bobbity. Oh, yes.
Goralami.
Goralami. I'll be like, hey, where's the Gabagoo?
you get
the shoulders up with the heads. Hey, Tony.
Salami on the table and stuff. And
what do you call it? The salum?
The salum and the mortadella. You just drop the last syllable and it sounds Italian. The spaghetti.
Oh, that's wrong on so many levels.
It does, the spaghetti. Oh, bro.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we'll get him on 100%. I love that guy. Really love him.
Yeah, if you're listening, fucking jump on the pod, bro.
We'll send this clip. We'll clip this and send it to him. Maybe not with the boobity babity.
Nah, he'll enjoy it, bro.
Yeah, he'll be like, well, yeah, the guy knows Italian.
Peter, just because you got a mustache doesn't mean you're Italian.
Well, you know what? Valentino Rossi being in such news, being on a podcast, like, they're all going to want to jump on now.
Yeah, sure.
And just get your comments twisted on the podcast like he did.
Yeah.
Not our
so
fault.
Good for us.
Too scared to ask those questions.
Yeah. What would your fish bake you, rude?
Yeah. Imagine him asking him that. Jesus.
great race. Just fill in that moment of silence.
All in all.
All in all.
But yeah, firm now to get back in the top five.
Oh, fuck, yeah. But did he? He was watching Aiguera for like what, all race pretty much? Like it was. Yeah.
Where did Aiguera finish?
Fourth.
Oh yeah.
Just a
he's doing all right in the championship now. Is he
22 point lead, 188 to 166.
He'll fuck it up in Sepang.
Oh, bro. Bottle foregone conclusion.
If he crashes in Sepang, like that would be.
He'll just crash somewhere.
We'll send him a trophy. I'm going to send him a trophy yeah, that's personally. A good point. All right. And it's going to just be like fucking.
You've been shaved.
Yeah, exactly right. You've been shaved.
Send him a dildo. Sexy Heaven.
Sexy Heaven
get
dildo.
Get on their website, get one.
Dick of the year. He'll be dick of the year. That's dick of the year.
And because it's free shipping as well, I'll just get it sent from their website. Perfect. Done.
That's funny, man. If he does that,
dildo for $100, but
yeah. Yeah. Oh, you'd know,
but. Yeah, just get one of your regulars.
Yeah. Right, you are.
That's all I got. Moto 2.
Yeah, I didn't have much on Moto 2.
Well, it was just a good race.
It was just an amazing race.
It's in a good spot.
Yeah, and Moto 3 results, Daniel.
Moto 3, David Alonso, Angel Piqueras, Colin Vaier.
There's a future right there, huh?
Yeah, man, you're not wrong. Yeah, great call. So that's your top three. Danny Holgado, Ivan Ortola, Luca Lunetta, Joel Kelso, Adrian Fernandez, Matteo Bertelli, and Jose Antonio Rueda.
Again, 10. Great pronunciation, Daniel. He's an expert pronuncier in the podcast.
Could speaks, be better, but. Speaks a few languages. So.
Yeah, he's got a couple of languages in his belt.
Multilingo.
Yeah, yeah.
Multibene.
Duolingo.
Yeah. Tried that for a day and a half.
Shout out Kelso, another solid race. He got me, but
what were you doing?
There was a lot of motorsport on.
Paint the picture.
Yeah. Paint the picture. There's a lot of motorsport. I'm already like getting in trouble with the missus because like I flicked on her show. Moto 3 was on.
What was her show?
Oh no, watching some stupid bloody Love Island or something. Anyway, 6 o'clock the race started. And I'm like, I got to cook dinner. So, like, I got to fit the dinner in.
What are you cooking? Mortadella?
Spaghetti.
Gabagool. What do I cook? No, just eye fillet and some salad. And
I don't know.
Cauliflower. Oh,
we'll never, mate. We'll never.
Salt, cauliflower rice off the carbs. At the
moment, yeah. You're shedding some weight. Thanks, good.
I feel good. And then, like, I'm sitting, I'm watching, I'm having a glass of wine, whatever. Fucking Joel Kelso, fastest lap, up to fourth. I'm like, yeah, here we go. We're on, baby. Sit out. Mel, shut up. Get upstairs. Finish your dinner. Kicked her out. Get out there. Come on, Jolly. And then, yeah, fifth, sixth, seventh. I'm like, oh, Kelso, you bloody animal. So he's nearly getting there.
So hard to soft?
My heart, my dick. Yeah, it was. Fuck yeah. But anyway, still great. Like, what he's doing on that bike's awesome, and I'm so excited for him at Phillip Island.
Cannot wait.
Because he's going to have that edge, you know. That's the other thing. Like all these little bloody
I think him and
Europeans.
Jacob are going to do awesome.
Yeah. So super excited about that.
It's good to see him, you know, fighting a lot harder as well.
Yep.
Really showing what he's made of.
Bro, so David Alonso can win the championship in Japan, they're saying.
So what's he, 8 wins for the year or something?
Yeah. So that's interesting. So if he wins next week and then he can win it in Japan. So we'll see what happens.
How cool is it? You see the unicycle? You see his celebration?
Cool. Yeah.
He jumped off his bike, went onto a unicycle into the gravel trap, and then like just jumped off the unicycle and was in the gravel trap. That's the funniest thing ever.
Is he going to be the next like Marquez coming through and just disturbing all the...
Who knows?
It's so hard to say.
All the older Italians in the MotoGP.
Everyone said Guevara was going to be that, but he's done nothing.
Yeah, it's so hard. He's just had a crazy good year, David Alonso.
But even towards the end of the year before, he had a decent...
He did.
What about most dominant Moto3... race like championship in the recent history? I can't think of anyone.
You know who Pedro Costa did?
Yeah,
he came in guns blazing. Brad Binder people forget he won from fucking like pit lane or back of the grid.
He used to win from
Perez,
everywhere.
He dominated Moto3.
So probably you're right. The last one was like 3 years ago.
Pedro Costa, 110%.
When did he win the championship? Did he win the championship at Phillip Island?
I think he won it in his rookie year. Did he win it in his rookie year? I feel like he did.
I think that's like that's not David Alonso's rookie year though, is it?
Mm-mm. Nah, second year.
Yeah, so.
But he's on track to do all the.
And he signed with Moto 2.
Republica Gem things. Mm. Yeah, he signed with Moto 2. But Moto 2 is the real tease. Like, that's the one where you're going to figure out if going to be a gun.
That's where you get found out.
Mm. Yeah. But it was one of the best races. Again, like, their racing is incredible. I didn't know who was going to win. It came down, so it was like five riders to the last, second last corner.
It shows mental toughness with Dove Alonso
he's
as well.
He's just, like, they're so aggressive, but he's just so ice cold. That's all it is.
He's just
so
a cut above at the moment, isn't he? He's right down to his skin.
But, I mean, that second year of experience as well, I mean, that's a big thing, I reckon, on those bikes.
100%.
Yeah.
But even Piqueras, so these last few rounds, man, he's going to be...
he could be the fucking next big thing.
Yeah, he's going to be a force next year. I mean, even towards the end of this year, he'll stir it up a 100%. Bit. 100%.
Holgado got done on the green on the last...
Yeah.
That was a bit rough. That's a fucking bullshit. It's a bullshit rule.
Rules are rules,
I know. It just sucks.
Rules are rules, boys. All right. Well, shall we jump on to Formula One?
Yeah.
What time you got there, Curdy? Beautiful. Formula One, boys. Interesting race. Bit of a letdown.
I was really looking forward to that.
Little bit
race.
Of a letdown. Really was looking forward to it. It was sort of like a big slot car race at the end. But Lando Norris cut above.
Yeah,
man.
He just dominated.
Cut above. He just flicked a switch and just went, I'm taking this lead. And
well, he listened to our pod of...
got to be the villain.
yeah, that's all right.
But just went and just had no answers. Nobody had any answers.
Nah.
I think the Ferraris had podium or pace, but they just couldn't get through, man. Like,
yeah, that hindered them a lot, didn't it?
Hindered them a lot. And but yeah, really, it was an interesting weekend. I really feel for Ricciardo not having that send-off, and I don't know why they didn't do
that.
Yeah,
I was going to ask you, I was in my notes, what's going on?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just sort of like, I think he deserved that. Like, he's done a lot for the sport. Obviously, he was really emotional after the race as well.
Yeah, you can see that.
And
it's got to be his last race.
But why don't they just make the call? They could have just made the call. He could have had a farewell race. Everyone could have celebrated him. And then he has his 4 weeks off and goes into the sunset. But no, it's now post-race. We don't really know what's happening. Liam Lawson coming in. Who knows? I mean, I think Liam Lawson is the right choice, personally.
It's weird that they do that mid-season, all this stuff, though.
There's all these weird contracts this year. It's weird as. Like, they're saying that Lawson has a contract for five races. He's got to be – he's got to race five races, and there's five races left.
And he hasn't raced a race.
So, and he hasn't raced a race.
Oh,
so,
there you go.
Like, but I've never heard of this before.
Yeah, it's just weird how, like, I just can't imagine that happening in MotoGP where someone just steps up from Moto2 and then starts racing.
Yeah. I suppose you don't have reserve drivers or riders. You don't have reserve riders in GP, though.
They're the Moto2 riders.
Yeah, you're true. Mm. Yeah, you don't have a reserve rider, except for like a Pol Espargaro or like the older cats.
But they're just tests.
Yeah, they're just test
and they
riders,
only sit in if there's an injury.
Yeah.
It is weird.
So yeah, it's sad, and like obviously he's been a big part of F1 for the last 15 years. His time's probably done. But anyway, he got the fastest lap. That was pretty cool.
Driver of the day as well, I think.
Yeah, they all voted for him, which is pretty cool. But whatever happens to him, like, you know, he's made a career out of it.
100%.
Probably unfortunate he didn't win more races. He had so much talent there when he came in. Had an amazing year when he beat Vettel and Verstappen. You know, he was right up there, but just took the wrong path through different teams.
Yeah. Should have stuck it out.
Should have stuck it out at Red Bull. Yeah, he would have been the second driver, but he would have won more races and he would have probably had a more decorated career. But he went and strived for other things. So you can't hold him back for that either.
No, 100%, man. And Danny, if you're listening, we've got a spare seat here at Motorsport Republic. So if you want to join the team full time, we won't pay as much as what the Formula One teams. You can probably pay us. But
I would love to get him on.
It is a great career.
Yeah, another person would love to get on.
Yeah, well, we'll fly to Perth, mate. We'll come and see you.
Eight race wins, was it?
Seven or eight, I think, yeah.
What's your guys' favourite moment of Daniel Ricciardo though, over the years?
Favourite moment Daniel Ricciardo would have to be Monaco Redemption. Have to be up there. Yeah. We made a T-shirt out of it. So he got absolutely shafted the year before. They pitted him under the – and didn't have the tyres ready. I mean, that's just, you know, ridiculous at Monaco. Shit. Be ready all the time. It's
Ferrari things to do.
legit. That is very and then he came back the next year, had a blinder of the weekend, led in pretty much every practice, put it on pole. Then in the race, he lost his MG UK unit. So he had 160 less horsepower, had to keep old mate who
were Vettel.
Vettel in the Ferrari, maybe. Yeah, Vettel in the Ferrari, right? Behind him for like 40 laps and just did amazing. I mean, like very hard pass, but that emotion at the end, jumping in the water, like that's probably my favorite.
Yeah, it's mine.
My favorite moment. But yeah, I remember him coming in, his first race, he came in and debuted mid-season with Toro Rosso back then. And he was just this, like, I don't know, long-haired, goofy-looking fella, but always had that big smile and always, like, was so good with the media. And obviously what he did with Drive to Survive brought a lot of people in, sold us a lot of air fresheners,
That's right,
which we were happy about. But we'll have to put them on sale now because got a few left.
Nah, vintage, worth more.
Yeah, true. It's like someone bought two Marquez t-shirts, 7-time world champion. Yeah. Want to get in before he's an 8-time champion next year. Crazy.
Dropped on their heads or something.
But yeah, kudos to him and good luck. I mean, hopefully sports cars. I don't think he's going to get another gig in F1 next year. So hopefully sport cars, maybe Le Mans 24 hour, maybe something like that.
Yeah,
so
that'd be cool.
I think he's pretty keen on NASCAR, isn't he, as well? Like
very American.
IndyCar or something like that.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, traveling around IndyCar circuit around the States and stuff would be cool life, I think.
Yeah, like, yeah, wouldn't that?
It's not the same traveling as what, obviously, you're in the F1 and stuff. It's
probably a breath of fresh air, though. Not doing
seems to be his sort of lifestyle as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Just following the sun. That's a big thing.
You know? Hey, V8 supercars. What are you doing?
Yeah, get it going. Red Bull Racing.
Well, they tried. Stoner, remember, had a few races in
there. Yeah, true. The Dunlop Series.
Yeah.
Garner did that as well.
He raced He raced as a reserve driver in Bathurst a couple of years as well, Stoner. So, but yeah, like, go back to the race. Like, talking about those slot cars, like, Formula One's done such a massive effort to, like, lower downforce to have more closer racing. But, like, it really just made it fundamentally clear that fresh air is just the main game, you know. Like, anyone who was out in fresh air just absolutely had such a better race, and there was just no way to pass on that track. They had four DRS zones and just no one got anywhere near unless the tires were like fully off the cliff. So that was
Oscar Piastri's move against
both of Mercedes was really good.
And Haas, who was in Haas in the first?
Yeah, Hülkenberg. That sort of changed his race. To him to get
third,
he had
to do that. Yeah,
for him to get to third, that was a great race. But that McLaren had so much pace, and it goes back to McLaren being in that high downforce setup, like at Zandvoort, just shows that is their peak.
Mm.
So anything that's high downforce coming up in the next few races is going to be a McLaren whitewash, I reckon. So we'll see. And one more win closer to my bet as well. Happy about that.
So you need to see more.
Two more races, yeah.
What's coming up next for F1 after this?
Bro, Austin, which is a mixture of high and low downforce. Yeah. But a 4-week break. I mean, seriously, what's going on there?
Doing MotoGP things.
Bro, that's superbike style.
But the thing is, like, they didn't have any cancelled races in that. Like, it was a 4-week break. And
they've just had a big break, haven't they?
Bro, busiest season in history. Bullshit. I mean, like, I don't get that. Like, 4-week break. Yeah, they just had the summer break.
You've been shaved.
But in the same weekend as MotoGP, which is annoying. They could have made that a bit different. But anyway.
Different time zones, I guess.
True.
But yeah, I mean, it was an interesting race. And those cars under that lights just look so good. We have to go next year, boys. We've got to do it.
Singapore, that'd be sick.
We've got to do it. Just get some good tickets. Like, I saw everyone in the crowd there, their beers, like, it was hot. Yeah. Like, how fun that would be.
You'd be sweating.
Fucking pouring it over my head, like, bloody throwing it. You can't do anything there. A lot of CCTV in Singapore. You got to be careful.
Oh, no massages. If you got pissed,
you'd be... Yeah, no massages over there. No cherries for you, Tommy.
Oh, we'll find a spot. GOAT, absolute GOAT comments from Verstappen. Okay, so he gets done on the press conference of saying my car's fucked, he said.
Yeah.
And then he comes in, finishes second in qualifying. It doesn't answer any questions in the media.
No comment.
GOAT. Okay, that's GOAT. That's GOAT factor. Yeah. Because fuck you guys. Like, this guy's got such a big personality for the sport. Like, he brings so many fans. He's expressing his personality. And then you're telling him that he's got to do community service now because he said the F word.
What's with the swearing thing? It's fucking ridiculous.
It is. It's a bloody... Oh, get this. This is hilarious.
It's so fucking pussy.
The head
of
the FIA, Salimiling Halakak, or whatever his name is, the Middle Eastern guy, said, he came out and said to the media, he's like, we're not rappers, okay? Can't swear all the time. And then Hamilton's come out and said, that's racist. That. And I was like, oh my typical God, here we go. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Like, how good is this? Like, this is just like a typical, of course. Yeah. Like, that was always going to happen. but yeah, that was
it's
interesting.
So fucking
just
lame.
Let him be like, this is the thing.
Show personality.
I know. Yeah, like, that was the thing about Bastianini putting up the inside of the MotoGP. Yeah. It's about that personality. Like, anything you do something out of the ordinary, you get crucified for, right?
Especially in F1. Fucking no. You can't swear.
And it's the same even Rossi on that podcast. Like, he's come out and then everyone's going, oh, you've rehashed this, you've rehashed that. Why are you doing this? Like, the guy's just trying to talk about
it. He's just answering a question.
I know. Like, this world has just gone mad with this stuff, and like it's just going to affect things going. Like, they're all going to be robots, you know.
And who cares?
He won't turn up to a thing.
I know. Like, and it wasn't like it was a live broadcast, yes, but like people had to pay to watch it. It was on the only F1 TV. Like,
what's the kids community service thing? What's this community?
I don't know. He's probably just got to like feed some kids and I don't know. I don't know, bro. Like, you got to pick up rubbish on the side of the road. I don't know.
Imagine that on the Hume Highway. Verstappen's there. The stick picking up rubbish.
But and good on him for like standing up and just be like, no, I'm not answering questions.
It's, yeah. It's not the first time he's done this though. Like, he's sort of clapped back at the reporters and journalists.
Fuck
it, and that.
Man. Seriously.
Yeah. I don't understand. But yeah, DRS didn't really do much throughout the whole race. We touched on that. Hulkenberg, bro, amazing qualifying. Like, you got to look at this. So you look at Ferrari, 1,050 personnel work for Ferrari, okay, the F1 team. Mercedes, 1,200 people work for Mercedes.
Full factory outfits.
All these big companies, Haas, 200 employees, put it fifth on the grid.
That's crazy.
That's mental,
so amazing.
Man.
Like, and that Hulkenberg in qualifying, like,
he's still got a lot to offer.
Dude, I thought he was done, but he in that Audi, if they get their shit together, that could be a force to be reckoned with. Because he's got some serious talent. Never been on the podium.
I know, that's
never
that's
been
crazy.
On the podium. So the most amount of races I think ever, he's just passed Martin Brundle. Yeah. Oh, sorry, no. Sorry, most amount of races with a race win, I should say Martin Brundle, but most amount of races without a podium. So
that's
pretty
wild,
crazy.
Man.
Pretty
he's
crazy.
Been around the traps for a little bit too.
Well, he had his chances. He had pole in Brazil back 2011. It was a wet qualifying, put it on pole. Had his chances there, but I think he crashed a few laps in, or he ran wide in the first lap. So he had his chance, but that's it. It shows you how hard it is to get a win and get a podium, isn't it?
That's it, man.
How impressive is this young Argentinian driver?
Bro, I'm super impressed. Super impressed.
Doing right, where did he finish? 11th?
Yeah, 11th, just out of the points.
And he got points in his first race in Baku.
And then you see Albon. Albon's losing some fans over this. He's, bro, normal move up the inside at the start of the race. And Albon's got on the radio and said, he's dive bombed me. No.
Again, pussy, I'm telling you.
Yeah, mixture of.
Don't like it when there's a young kid coming and beating him.
Yeah.
Well, Albon's had it so easy, hasn't it, with Sargeant?
Yeah, that's right.
So yeah, no, you've literally had an autistic retard driving as you fucking...
far out.
That's extreme.
Jesus Christ.
Tell us how you really feel.
Yeah, like, sure, all right, bloody hell. Yeah, fair enough, F2 champion.
didn't do anything, but...
He did. He was nowhere. No, credit where credit's due. What I was going to say is, like, I don't think we can appreciate how hard it would be to come in... And race, those are I reckon they're the two hardest tracks on the calendar for me. Azerbaijan and Singapore. In that heat, James Shaw, in that heat.
No safety car.
No safety car, first time in history.
I was going to say first
time
ever.
No yellow flag, okay, and Singapore Grand
Prix. Crazy. Everyone was waiting. The strategies are waiting on a safety car.
Like, bro, the longest it's been without a safety car has been flat 35 out of 62. Yeah, it's just crazy. So for him to do that, like, he would have been knackered, but... Like, to him today, it's super impressive. Like, in the car that's not obviously in a front-running car either, he got, credit where credit's due, as I said.
Yeah, fair it's play. Fun stuff.
But it's, interesting times in F1, like...
What's gone off Verstappen? Got seconds.
They found
something
I think that was all driver, bro.
Yeah,
like
that's just his...
Because he had a rough race there last year in his dominant season.
Super. I didn't have him in my top five this week.
I don't think any of us did.
No,
you might have, Daniel.
Flicked him in. Nice. It was all that him putting on second was like rewatching that lap, which I did. I thought, like, he's just throwing that car around like you won't believe. The other thing was Lando's lap was like incredible. What people didn't realize in Q3 and qualifying was actually Piastri had two shots at pole. So he had two laps in Q3. Lando went for his first lap and it was a yellow flag. So he had to come back in, change the tires, and he only had one shot at it, put on pole, 3/10. Awesome lap. Up there with performance of the week for me. Lando Norris.
Yeah, good on him.
Sexy Heaven? No, we haven't got a sponsor for that ever yet.
Good on him. No complaining, which is nice from him this time, so let him off the hook.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's pretty good. Like, he's got some talent. He was lucky as well. He put him to the wall twice.
Yeah, didn't he? It was close.
He put him to the wall twice, so he had the luck on his side.
How crucial do you think this 1 point will be?
The fastest I don't think it's going to make a difference.
No.
Nah, 1 point.
Who's winning the championship from here?
No, Verstappen, he's shown that they've shown some stuff with the car, and I think they'll come back to some more traditional tracks. If you come back to those traditional tracks, they normally go better. So we'll see. Max loves Austin, so that's going to be the interesting one. I love that track as well. I really rate Austin as a track.
Yeah, but same.
Dude, we're not going to be talking about this for the next 4 weeks. Like, it's unbelievable that it's such a long break, but it is what it is.
It is exciting. I was really looking forward to it. Like, F1's, I've spoken about it a few times, but F1's been so exciting. You just don't know who's going to win or who's going to be on the podium.
I have to admit, like, doing this podcast last year and watching every race, and Red Bull won all but one.
It was a struggle.
Like, we got here on a Monday, or back in my joint, and thinking, like, what are we talking about? And I didn't want to watch the pre-race show. Like, yes, I love Max. I'm a huge Max fan, but I didn't want to watch the pre-race show. I didn't want to do a lot of stuff. Dude, I was like, even though the MotoGP race was so good last night, I was still flicking it back to watch, like, the grid walk, to watch all things. Because I'm like, I'm so interested. They did a brake change on Lance Stroll's brakes like within 30 minutes of the race start. Like, I love that shit.
That's crazy, man.
Like, how they did that was incredible. But yeah, like, I'm so invested and so interested in this championship. But we'll see. I think Max is still going to hold on.
It seems to be that way. I mean, I'm just reading here now that McLaren want the fastest lap address after the Red Bull and RB partnership.
Yeah, that's low test, isn't it?
What did they say, Daniel?
McLaren have called for the relationship between Red Bull and RB to be addressed after Danny Ric took the fastest lap.
That's coming from Lando, I'm telling you.
So yeah, 100%.
I'll address
this. There's a complaining right
there. So obviously they've pitted Ricardo. Initially we thought because it was his last race, but that was actually to take the fastest lap.
Isn't that just strategy?
Yeah, but you're not allowed to mix teams. That's the thing. They're separate teams.
Yeah, but they didn't come out and say that.
It's his last race. We wanted to send him off for the fastest lap.
Of course they can. But, like, that's what I'm just saying, what the argument from McLaren is you're not allowed.
I don't like you standing up to them, mate.
No.
I don't like it.
Typical British.
Is he getting paid off or something? Yeah. And bad food as well.
No good.
I wouldn't mind a Sunday roast. That looks good. You have the Yorkshire and the fucking gravy and stuff. I don't mind that.
I'll take the fucking carbonara, mate.
Sunday sauce, bro.
But that's where it's come from. I'm not defending anything. I think it's ridiculous that McLaren have come down. That's a low tier.
It is a low tier move.
It is a low tier.
They need some Tonga Ali in them.
To what?
Tonga Ali.
Is that what you've been taking?
Plant extracts.
You got the, like, acne and stuff.
Yeah, I've had two pimples come up from that.
But yeah, low tea definitely. That should be a new segment on our show, Low Tea Tuesdays or something.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Who's been our low tea?
Low tea for the week.
Low tea for the week. I'm going to write that down.
Yeah.
If no one knows what that means, it means low testosterone.
Yeah. And pussy moves.
It came from, I was talking to Tom once, and he was watching a movie or something. He's like, oh, I cried. I'm like, that's a bit of a low T move.
King Kong, bro, got me every time. Fuck.
You good, bro?
Yeah, all good, man.
Yeah, is everything all right in your life?
Yeah, I'm running.
You want some? Some tea?
Tea. Yeah, I do want some tea. I'm fucking starving, actually. F1, I'm done with F1, boys. If you are,
yeah, I got nothing.
Hot takes.
Sorry.
Nice way to lead into
performance of the week, James.
Daniel.
Performance of the week. Are we sponsored for a performance of the week anymore?
No, we're not. We're looking for a sponsor.
Performance of the week, Danilo Petrucci.
Ooh, yeah, I love that.
Triple.
Hat trick, baby.
Bro, where does that come from? So he's had a couple of podiums this year.
Yeah, he's had a couple of podiums.
Normally the wet weather expert, as I
as you say.
As I say.
Well, I mean, he's had a brilliant run, right? Like, since the Czech Republic, he had a podium in race one. He had a podium in the Superpole race in Portugal and in race one in Portugal as well. French round, podium. 2/3 and a second, and then now he's done there.
So he's had a few. So he's
on a hot streak.
Yeah, doing the treble's pretty good.
Doing the treble, 62 points.
And a non-factory Ducati bike, is that correct?
A non-factory bike, the Barney Spark team. They'll be running two bikes next year as well. Our friend Yari Montella will be up.
Is that the one we were doing shots with?
Shots with, yeah.
Oh, him.
With his uncle.
Yeah, I thought that was the other guy, but
they all look the same.
They all look the same.
But absolutely insane. You know, this guy almost died a few months ago.
I forgot about
that. To come back and perform the way he's performed. First rider to win a MotoGP race, a Moto America race, a Dakar race or stage, and now a World Superbike race.
That's so such a good resume.
That's a resume, man. And he's a character everyone loves. Petrucci. So hats off to Danilo for Chapeau. Performance of the week. Yep. Absolutely unbelievable.
Well deserved. Never thought I would see the day that Danilo Petrucci is our performance of the week. I'm going to admit it. I never thought I'd see the day, but well done.
It was almost too good to pass up, you know.
It's pretty crazy that he went over and won a Dakar race. You know how skilled you have to be to do that?
The guy can ride, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's good. He's good with the mixed conditions usually. But and he did it.
And he did Rossi's ranch race on a CR500. Big two stroke, Tommy.
Yeah, absolutely unreal, man. So
thanks, James.
Credit to him.
So what it is.
And he's closed the gap too. Like, he's not far off. If he has another decent round. Nah,
come on.
Not off the win. I'm just saying he can very well get himself into the top three of the championship.
Oh, Chich, I thought you were going to start.
No.
Telling me Bastianini was up there again, and now I was getting scared.
No, so it's still between Toprak and Bulliger. They're miles ahead.
The Italians really like hold hope for the world championship, don't they? This guy, he can still win it. There's still 150 points on the table.
Hey, you know,
you never know what's going to happen.
Tell you it's what, Bagnaia approved that 90 True. Points yeah, down.
That's right. True, yeah. Bloody hell, Cordero was fucking shaking that end of that year, wasn't he?
Crumbled. Like Chinese pottery.
Bull in the China shop.
I can't fall. So yeah, just a quick overview of Supers, race one, Petrucci, Nicolò Bulliger and Alvaro Bautista.
No Toprak.
No Toprak, and apparently no Toprak for the next round either.
Aragon. Really banged up because they made it out like it wasn't too bad.
No, they walked off, I suppose, but yeah, obviously it's worse than
internal
we thought.
Bleeding or something, you're saying, Daniel?
It'd have to be something like that for sure.
Man, I reckon this fucking, he might get on the... Might get a lawyer involved on this one because it was a nasty accident.
It was watching it again just keeps making me sick. Like, it's not good at all.
The body shouldn't fucking impact. Like yeah, no. It looked like a goat or something getting
like a rag doll. Like.
Yeah, like it was like. Yeah.
Thank God for airbags, honestly.
Goats. I don't know where the goat came from.
No, he's pretty
just young. Referring to me.
I didn't know Ricky Carmichael kicked him in the French track.
Cheeseburger. The original cheeseburger.
He's OG cheeseburger.
He is. Super pole race, Danilo Petrucci, Alex Lowes and Andrea Iannone. And then race two, Danilo Petrucci, Alvaro Bautista and Nicolò Bulliger. So, yeah, down in Cremona.
Do you know where that is in Italy?
It was 2 hours down from Misano.
Southern.
Very superbike thing to do, but...
Yeah.
better than power plant, but...
yeah. Most.
Bro, that was messed up.
And he could have, you know, Petrucci could have spun so many laps around there coming up through the ranks when he was in stock.
How did my boy do in Supersport, the intense fella? What was his name?
Oh, Huertas.
Yeah, how did he go?
Let me have a look. I didn't even...
Moto2 next year is such a good move. I'm on his bandwagon.
Race one, he won.
Oh, see? Follow the winners.
Stefano Manzi second, Yari Montella third. Race two, Stefano Manzi.
Oh.
Adrian Huertas second and Tom Booth Amos third.
Mm. Tom Booth Amos.
Yeah.
Blast from the past, yeah.
So that was, I didn't get to watch Super Sport at all actually this weekend. I didn't watch Super Bowl.
I was a bit on, bro.
It was a lot on, man. I caught a little bit of race one and race two, but that's all I got to report on.
All right. James, my turn this week.
This is interesting.
Yeah. He did it one episode you were away as well. It's good when I don't know for once.
All right, number one, hot takes. We're also looking for a sponsor for this segment, if anyone's listening.
Low-T hot takes, we'll call it. Because Tom's written it out.
James. All right, number one, from Carl_FX, Jack Miller will not score a point next year on the Yamaha.
Nah, it's ridiculous. Of course he's going to score a point. Vinales will crash in front of him or something and you'll get the points.
If Honda finish 11th and 12th this round, I think he's got every chance.
A V4 Yamaha.
Miller did have a shocker this weekend.
Yeah, he did.
He did.
Stinker. Do you reckon they've stopped giving him parts because he's gone to Yamaha? Do you reckon they've done one of them?
The bike can't, go back that quickly, surely, just from a couple of...
Yeah, that's right.
You know,
I don't think so. You
wouldn't. But I'm just saying
they should take parts off him. All right, adzi_the_doc. Now Miller is at Yamaha. Could we see him take Johnny Ray's ride next year on a WSBK bike?
World Superbike.
Yeah.
The year after.
Yeah, that's not a bad shout, that.
Yeah, it's but a really
Johnny
good
Johnny Ray's struggling big time.
Still haven't seen his crash.
Yeah, I'm still searching for it.
Conspiracy on
Bro,
that.
Bro, how do they have Did no camera crash? At turn 12? Like, turn 12 is a classic corner.
They're
no
asleep.
Camera.
They're asleep.
There's
asleep.
They were packing up. But yeah, I think that's a good shout. I'd be very surprised if Jonathan Ray went around
yeah, he's
after
cooked.
This next year. He's well and truly done, I think.
Yeah.
This one's for Dave Superbike Shaw from M Dub93, Marquez fan. Jet Lawrence could do what Gene McHale done and go from motocross to MotoGP.
James, would you just like to fix that, please?
Jean McHale Bale?
Yeah, that one.
So read
you never trust someone with three first names, bro. That's the thing.
Reread that question.
Joanne McCallie Bale.
So Jet Lawrence could do what he did. So Jet Lawrence could go onto a MotoGP bike and win.
So give us probably for the viewers and listeners at home, what did Joanne McCall fail? What did he do in his career?
So he won, I believe, multiple 500cc races. Motocross world championships. He was a world champion.
500cc motocross.
Yeah, okay. So back in the 80s, 90s, when it was basically MXGP, before it was MXGP. Yep. And Nick Harris actually used to commentate his races.
Oh, there you go.
OG big dog Nick Harris. And then he raced 500cc's, I reckon 1 year or a couple of years was for Kajiva. When they're on the big dog 500s. He didn't win a championship, but just still, to go from motocross. Yeah.
I think
winning,
he had a couple podiums, didn't he?
He had a couple podiums. And little known fact, he actually, if you're a real OG listener and you know your stuff, he did a couple of wildcard rides for WCM when they were in MotoGP, the early years of the four strokes. He's raced.
That's great knowledge there, James. He's really impressed.
With autism. So he's raced the MotoGP four strokes, 500cc Grand Prix motorcycle racing, road racing, and a multiple time 500cc motocross world champion.
Can handle a motorbike.
That dude could be one of the most skilled motorcycle riders to ever grace a bike.
Well, as your old man said, one of the most underrated.
Yeah. Yeah, and underrated. Not enough people talk about
him. Well, personally, I've never heard of him. That's why I couldn't pronounce his name. So. But yeah, shout out to Dave Superbike Shaw for bringing that up during the week, and then MW93 to just happened to say it as well. I mean, I don't know if he's been in the media at all. But
so his question is if Jet Lawrence could do that.
Yeah, but look, modern day MotoGP machinery.
It's so much different.
It's just a different ballgame.
Versus a motocross bike. I mean, wow. I mean, no, I don't think it would be possible. It's a different skill.
I think maybe Moto2.
Bro, I don't know. I don't even think he's throwing a leg over a road bike. Like, I think there's two.
Is there any correlations there?
If you're quick, you're quick, but you'll find a way.
But, oh, I don't know, man.
Because
he wouldn't mind the bike moving underneath him.
Yeah, for sure.
You got to look at that.
True. Well, Moto2 is more like that, isn't it?
Yeah. Tell you what, a lot of MotoGP riders get around Jet Lawrence.
Yeah.
Mm.
They watch all those AMA motocross stuff.
Now, something we haven't mentioned, and we've got a lot of messages about it, was Toyota joining the V8 Supercars from 2026. So, interestingly, they're joining up with Walkinshaw Racing, which is a big organisation both here and overseas. So, Willie_Nels, big number one contender. Smart for Walkinshaw to lock in Toyota factory support. Would tempt good drivers from dangling them into US wildcard drives. So it would sort of obviously correlate with NASCAR. So a really good point with that.
So what is it, the Supra or whatever it is? I don't know anything about cars.
Is that a Supra?
So Supra's like their sedan, two-door coupe sedan that's been out. Like it got relaunched recently, like 3-4 years ago.
Yeah,
maybe,
I saw that.
Classic car in the JDM market. Obviously over the 90s, like probably the most classic car, JDM. So yeah,
it's not a Camry buddy driving around.
Well, that's
it?
The thing. No. I mean, I think it's cool and I think it's really good for the sport. And it's exciting to see because Toyota's such a massive company.
Yeah,
coming back to supercars and factory support as well.
So who used to race? Nissan was in supercars and Volvo. Remember when Nissan, Volvo.
And then back this, then Nissan used to have the Skyline in the 90s. Obviously that classic
Godzilla.
Classic Gertie. Thing, Curdy, when they were on the stage and they were booing them.
Oh, Scafie. Was it Scafie and Jim Richards?
Yeah,
great. They're all pack of arseholes.
Yeah, that's a classic moment. So, I definitely agree. All right, next one. Going back to Miller, I'm sorry, I should have done this for the third
one. That's all right, Brad. It's all good. Miller low T segment's all good.
Will help. That's going to stop immediately, I reckon. That's enough. That's enough, all right? Like that. That's enough. I'll start crying. Miller will help Yamaha improve the bike enough for Fabio to be a podium contender next year. From 13, I'll score Big Max.
That's what I feel like right now.
That's good. Look, I don't even know if Fabio is going to be a podium contender next year.
Yeah, I think it might be a bit hard.
More of the same, isn't it, going to be next year?
Yeah, maybe he could, if it's got a V4 and they get it right, maybe he could scrape home for a podium or two. You never know, but you contender. Know,
yeah, that's every week. But you know what's crazy in like looking at F1? Red Bull, as I said, won every race by one last year. We thought it was going to be all the same. Completely different season.
Mm.
Completely different. I know it's a lot different and there's a different kettle of fish with different new parts and stuff, but yeah, it can change very quickly in motorsport.
Yeah, it can. It with MotoGP, it seems like it takes longer.
It does take a longer.
And the
longer.
New rules coming in 27. Yeah. We'll probably be waiting for that. Luke Miller _6.
Another pod favourite.
Put these guys in order of how they perform in 2025. Miller, stepsister, Rins.
Oh, man, that's a good question.
Great question, Luke Miller.
2025.
Oh, yep. In 2025, they're going to be?
Next year.
Oh, next year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you got Miller on the Yamaha.
They're all on Yamahas except Quartararo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So obviously Quartararo is going to be number one, we assume. Do you think Rins is going to come good, Daniel?
I'm going to say Rins.
Yeah, I thought you would.
Rins, big Oliveira, fan. And Jack.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. But if Rins stays healthy, man, like, this guy is super, like, just inconsistent for me. Too inconsistent to be on the premier class.
Yeah, I think you're right.
He's struggling, but I think that it just seems to be the way.
Has he done anything in the last 18 months?
He won in America last year.
On the LCR Honda. We forgot about that when we were talking about Hondas and
that. No, that was 22, wasn't it? Surely.
I can't remember.
That can't have been last year. No, he was on the factory Yamaha last year. No, 22.
No, he wasn't. This was his first year on factory Yamaha.
Yeah, because he was on the Honda last year.
Who was on factory Yamaha?
Rins.
Oh, Morbidelli.
Morbidelli. It all blends into one, I swear. Yeah,
it does. Far out. This is more of a praise for us, Sean.com. Motorsport Republica is the number one motorsport podcast in the world.
Damn right it is.
On you, Sean.
We appreciate that. And then also Nico Alexander said, hope you have a blessed day. Not really a hot take, but we'll take it.
Thank you.
It's a hot take, yeah.
Hope you have one too.
Sean.com also said, Iaguro will outperform Raul Fernandez next year in GP.
I know, I'm going to take that. I'm going to take that on your Japanese.
Well, I mean, it's not out of the realms of possibility. I don't know how Raul Fernandez has got a ride, to be honest.
Yeah.
Anyone shouldn't be on the grid, it's him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they see something in him, I think.
Clearly.
Yeah.
They've given him a 2-year deal.
They do. It's interesting because he has not performed. Like, he's shown some light. Like
one race in Barcelona and then he binned it.
Binned it.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm going to go Iaguro.
Yeah, I might have to agree with that too.
The only problem is, and I think Cam Donald spoke about this, and this is not what he said, but I'm going to paraphrase, is they're a bit more scared of the bigger bikes. They can't ride the bigger bikes. It's proven.
The Japanese?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just Asian riders in general.
Yeah. As I said, there's never been a Japanese world champion in MotoGP, has there?
They're great in the lighter classes, but that's what they obviously grow up with as well. But
they're lighter built boys.
You know, there's no one riding R1s through the streets of Phuket.
Weak bones, Tom.
True. All right, Matt Auld, contender, number one.
Yeah, pod fave.
This is a great question. I love this. Who is one rider you think could have won titles if they're on a different bike, in brackets, all time?
If they're on a different bike. Someone who hasn't won a title.
So who's been unlucky in their career where they've just sort of swapped at the wrong time or gone to it, was on a competitive bike that nearly got there but then went to a less competitive bike?
That's tough, man.
I don't know if really anyone that I can think of, because like Stoner won and he swapped from Ducati to Honda.
Yep.
Like Pedrosa, he was on like the best bike for some years, so I can't say him.
Did he deserve a world championship though?
Probably, but
yeah,
maybe Melandri if he had gone to a Repsol Honda.
Yeah, when he went to the Ducati, he made the wrong. That's a great shout. Maybe Melandri. Yeah, I like that.
That's all I can really think of at the moment.
Interesting. I mean, yeah, it's an hard, interesting like, question.
You know, the '90s was obviously dominated by Hondas. Mid to late '90s was dominated by Mick, and I don't think anyone else in that era could have really put it up to him even on a different bike.
I mean, over the years, there's got to be some hard luck stories.
What about Maverick Vinales? I can't believe I'm going to say this. If he stayed on the Suzuki. I know he's the ultimate fraud watch and I'm the king of that. But would if he's, you know.
So you're saying Maverick Vinales could have won a world championship if he was on the right bike?
Well, I'm not. No.
Oh, I nearly had him.
No.
I know what you're trying to say.
If he just, because he went to Yamaha and he just did, he was testing King and then he's gone to Aprilia and he's won the run race, everyone jumps on his bandwagon and he actually doesn't do anything. Had to get it out.
In one breath.
But if he's just stayed on the Suzuki, had the good La Familia environment, had Ichi and Inanna there as a team manager.
Privio.
I was just going to jump onto one more hot take, Matt Baby Vinales spec. Zeely underscore. Mav is the most talented rider on the grid, but he only shows up once per year.
Well, then he's not the most talented.
Open-ended question.
Then he's not the most talented rider on the grid. I don't know. Like, I'm just trying to spitball there.
Oh, I know what you're trying to say. Yeah. I don't mind that, but I think from recent years, it comes to mind, Melandri, if he had have probably gone to a Repsol, would be, if anything, the closest.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see if Martin might be in that category in a couple of years.
Well,
here's one. Alex Barros went to the four-stroke Honda at the end of 03 and won the last two or the last three races on that bike. Could have been a different story with Cheeseburger Barros on that bike.
God, yeah, that's a good point.
I'm not saying that he could have won, but he might have made it a bit more of a fight.
Maybe.
People always wondered that. And that's pretty cool. We went from a two-stroke to a four-stroke, then never tested it, or he might have tested it, and then won two of the last three races on a brand-new bike. Not many people remember that. Cheeseburger, Barros. A lot of Brazilian meats down that way.
D Silver 87S, Stoner 07 Ducati, Daniel's favourite, was the best bike/tyre combo that year.
I don't know if it was the best bike because Stoner was just so good on it.
Yeah. It was the best bike though. It was miles ahead of everything else. And if I think compared to the Suzuki, it was like 30-something kilometres quicker down the straight.
Yeah,
that's so crazy.
It was a wild bike.
But it was terrible on the corners.
Yeah, but it was still the best bike. That Yamaha, I remember being at Phillip Island as a kid and Mick Doohan going, speaking about that Yamaha, saying how bad it was and how good Valentino was to put it where he was putting it. And Mick basically came out and said, that Ducati is miles ahead.
Mm.
So I'm basing it off that.
And he had the tyres.
And the tyres.
He was on Michelin.
It was by far the best bike. He could extract the most out of that bike too.
Well, that Honda was dog shit as well.
It was.
Yeah. It's actually, I like it.
But you don't think Rossi's dominant years, early 2000s, would have been a better combination than that Stoner bike and tyre?
Yeah. Like an 03, 02 Repsol Honda. Was probably the most dominant bike because that won every single race in 2003, bar one. Yeah, that'd be the most dominant.
All right, jump onto some F1 now, guys. B underscore Rothberg underscore. Antonelli will be a problem for Toto. A new Mick Schumacher. All the talent but struggles under pressure. Interesting. Very interesting. Thoughts?
I don't know.
Oh, I think there's less pressure.
I don't know anything about. I don't know enough about him.
He's young, man. He's 18 years old. I mean, it's a big thing going straight into a factory Mercedes team.
It could go two ways. I think with Mick, he obviously had the last name, and that is added pressure.
Yeah.
So I think that probably doesn't help.
Yeah, but speaking of low T, George Russell, classic low T situation.
I'm really liking this low T segment. Low T of the week.
Low T of the week. He is, as long as you don't keep calling me low T, it's all good.
Yeah, that's low T. That's low T. He's complaining about it.
Tom's low T section of the week.
So that is interesting. And I think I have to tend to agree that the pressure will be huge next year on him because Verstappen didn't even go to the factory team when he first joined. He was 17 years old. He went to Toro Rosso, did half a season.
Yeah,
first,
half a season went straight across. So,
but he's not a Verstappen.
He's one in a 50 million. I mean, one in a 50 years Verstappen.
Is Antonelli going to bring Italy back to the promised land of Formula One though? Because we've just spoken about how Italy's not done much in F1.
Yeah.
As a driver,
it's good for the sport to have an Italian back in because obviously it's such a rich history.
Bring Giovinazzi back.
make Giovinazzi great again.
All right, so another one from Rothberg.
V Carb, which is AlphaTauri, are getting rid of the wrong driver to put Lawson in. Yuki should follow Honda. I agree. I think Yuki's the ultimate fraud watch. Yeah, he might have had a good qualifying, put on eighth on the weekend, but you know, what did he finish, 12th? Like, he just doesn't do anything in the race.
Does nothing.
He never has a surprise
result. And he was cracking
result.
It under the... He was cracking on the radio.
Typical, though. He always does.
Yeah, like, I don't rate him as a driver and never have. He's had such a chance in that car. 3 or 4 years he's been in that car. He's done absolutely nothing.
Mm.
So he's had his time, and I 100% I agree with Rothberg there.
So if Danny Rick goes, get rid of... Just put two new drivers in that team?
I mean, give Danny another year, man. Like, let's see what he can do. But we're probably
they've tried that though.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's two new drivers, bro.
Yeah, they've got a really good young driver coming through the Red Bull category. Hadjar, his name is. He's going to be the next big thing, I reckon.
Cool.
That's a bit of a T-Shav secret.
Crystal ball.
All right, it's called Papa. Probably ultimate number one contender at the moment, I'm going to say. Mm. All the way from India, our friend is called Papa.
We've got a big following in India at the moment as well. India and England's, if there are internationales.
Internationales, it's up there. I mean, there's a billion of them, so hopefully a couple of them listen. But it's called Papa Shouter. He does all our our leaderboards for our race predictions for both F1 and GP. And he's a massive fan. He's got questions of GP, questions of F1.
You know your stuff, mate. And
James apologises for his comments about the track last few pods ago, so he just wanted to say that.
What did I say?
Oh, you said the track was shit.
Which track?
India.
Yeah, it is a shit track. I'm not going to fucking turn back on that. I'm not...
Double down, Jim.
Don't try and silence me like the Formula One. See, low team move.
That's it. You're done. You're done. All right, it's cold. What do you think the best race and sprint race in MotoGP this year is so far?
What's the best race and sprint race
in MotoGP this year so far?
Le Mans was the best race.
I can't remember. I've got such a shit memory of...
That was when Marquez passed Pecco on the last lap?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good race.
They were all fighting it out.
Yeah, that was good.
Sprint race.
You're right, though. It's hard to remember.
I can't remember a sprint race.
I can't remember.
Yeah,
but Le Mans main race is a standout.
Okay.
Fuck, I can't even. And Martin won that race.
The last race win.
I really liked, maybe just because I remember it, but Misano and the Nia just booting
Martin
at the last corner. That was good.
Yeah, it was a good race. That had everything, that race.
Yeah.
It had everything.
That's actually my favorite, just because I remember it.
Yeah, I don't have a memory of any other race, to be honest.
For some reason, I can remember races when it's like
20 years ago.
Beautifully. And it's like it gets... I don't know what happens with my brain.
You're right, though. I can remember like races back in 08 for F1 and go, won podium, but I can't remember who fucking won 3 races ago.
That's low tip up for you.
Do you know what it is? It's our phones.
Yeah, I think so.
It's our phones.
We're not concentrating.
Fucking messaging Jerry too much.
Yeah.
I think so. All right, I can't remember one, so we'll jump on the next one. Nikki D, if you could bring 3 tracks to MotoGP, what would they be?
Laguna, Estoril. Laguna, Estoril, and I'd bring a second Phillip Island.
Broadford?
Yeah, Broadford.
The Bend.
I don't know what a third one. Fuck, I don't know.
For me, I reckon they have to go to the Middle East more. I'd love to see Bahrain. I'd be really keen on that. I reckon it'd be a great track for MotoGP as well.
I like it.
Daniel?
I'd like to see Donington back.
Oh, that's a good one.
Mm.
Nürburgring, my third. Nürburgring.
Yeah, Nürburgring.
Short circuit.
Yep. Mm. Yep.
Donington. Kimi Ring? That's meant to be on the calendar, but it's not.
No, it's cancelled.
But that'd be cool to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Maybe the Bend. Shout out to South Australia.
It'd be cool to have. I mean, I don't think that they'd ever have 2 races in Australia, though, would they? You don't think?
No, probably not. But it would be pretty cool.
It would be cool.
Yeah.
Fantasyland would be cool.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Yeah, I think definitely, Nürburgring, Laguna Seca for me, and Bahrain.
Okay, I like it. 3 different answers.
Indianapolis, bring Indianapolis back.
Yeah.
I'd love to see him on the bank circuit, though, but it'll just never happen, will it?
No.
The Michelins can't handle a nice day in summer of Italy. Imagine a bank circuit.
Well, you know the Michelins couldn't handle the fucking Indianapolis back in 05 and the F1s. They had to
True. It's a French. Don't take it seriously enough. No good. Bring back the Japanese. See, they're good at tyres, Curdy.
Okay, from Hart_Malbon. No, he's been on a couple of times. The Red Bull situation, the McLaren situation is like Red Bull when Max Verstappen joined. Oscar is the future and Norris doesn't like it.
Yeah, I like
it. Yeah, that's good. Call that.
Yeah, and it's happening. It happens all the way through F1. It does. He looked at Albon on the weekend, the same thing. Like he's getting, actually has someone who can beat him on the weekend and he cracks the shits. Like that's so typical, isn't it?
Bit of Alonso and Hamilton about it.
True. All right. So, God, I got a lot on things.
Man, there's been thousands.
There was thousands sent through.
My phone was. I got to turn my phone on. Turn my Instagram notifications off because I just keep getting
too many biddies in the DM or.
Bro, it's too many. I'm poking them off with a stick and they just keep coming.
Sorry, Trip.
She'll pedigree me tonight.
Pedigree. All right, Brayden _ Hardcastle. Rossi cost himself two titles, 15 and 16, by worrying about Marquez rather than himself.
Maybe in 15, yeah. I reckon I actually agree with that.
It's a good way to lose number one ticket holder status, isn't it, Brayden? Well done, champ.
When was the kicking incident? He champed him. Whenever the kicking incident was, yeah, I actually agree. Should have just shut his mouth in the race.
Spanish mafia, bro.
What happened in 16, though? Like, obviously...
Marquez won a title.
Yeah, but dominated, or was it...
Yeah, I think he did. I think it was
15.
I believe that... Didn't Marquez crash Filip Island at Honda that year? And he was dominating the world championship. He was dominating the race and he crashed.
He's crashed at Honda and Laguna. I'm retarded. Lucky Heights.
Yeah. Lucky Heights. Yeah, at the bottom. Yeah.
I think Yamaha had some engine issues throughout that season as well. They're having some pretty
good. Yeah, you know what? Well. You're right, Curdy. Lorenzo, you know what? Magello.
Yeah.
Lorenzo blew his motor in practice.
That's right.
And then they were fighting. It was going to be the best Magello ever.
Rossi's engine blew.
And Rossi's engine blew against Cheeseburger.
And when does that happen, an engine blow?
Bro, it never happens. Good. Yeah. Fuck. Were you at that one, Curdy?
Yes.
Oh, fuck. That would have been a good one. Yeah. It would have been a good one if Rossi got up.
Yeah, no, there was a lot of angry
Italians. Did you stay when Rossi went on the podium afterwards? Because Rossi, that's just how big Rossi is. When he's not on the podium, and Jello, he still fucking goes out and then like gives it to the crowd. Did you stay for that? Because I know you were on the front straight, weren't you?
Yeah, no, we saw that. But most of the people who are Rossi fans left.
They left MotoGP after he retired as well.
They left when his engine blew.
They're coming back, but I reckon.
When it blew, there was just a sea of fluoro yellow and blue going up the field.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
The fact that dude had.
Okay. That's a lot. Sorry. All right.
Hey, bro. Where's the
podcast? We're going to knock.
He keeps on.
Gotta go train, bro.
Hart Malbon, another one from you. Going back to last week's episode, Marc Marquez is the villain Rossi created. Oh, that's actually...
Yeah, I like that.
That's a cool... That's a good call.
Because, I think he was already...
Nah, he was
that
loved.
That sort of character, but...
He was loved before all that.
But going back to that heel, you know how you always need a heel?
Yeah.
Like, that goes back to, like...
It's always been that.
I know, it is always been that, and it makes it more exciting.
Of course.
Like...
Lorenzo Cheeseburger was a heel. Biaggi was a heel.
Yeah.
I think Rainey was a heel back in the Dizay. Kevin Swantz. Yeah, OG.
Kevin Swantz.
Well, get him on the pod.
He was there on the weekend.
Yeah.
I did see
him. We're going to fly to America and do the American Riders. That's what's up.
Now,
talk about glory days, dude. Bring back the Americans into MotoGP.
What's going on?
I've got something I want to talk to you guys after the pod. Save it.
The poor viewers at home, like, on their edge of their seats. Okay, this was sent in before the results. Okay, so we have our hot takes on a Thursday night, James, is it? Or?
Yeah.
Okay, so interesting from the ideal homie, Pecco to crash out on the race this weekend.
Oh, wow, called it.
Yeah, called nice. It. So nice. Credit where credit's due. Superbike _R1M. Are the boys from Republica too scared to come down and ride the Ovalis? Watch this space, okay? You can get us down there. I'll show you how it's done. All right.
I actually went down on Friday. He was packing up.
Oh,
I was disappointed.
Let's go, Daniel. We're not riding.
No, I was like, get the bike off the trailer. Come on.
Was he too scared?
Too tired, he reckons.
Oh, come on, brah.
But right. Set us up, but
too tight. That's low T. You need some more T.
Nah, big fan of the pod.
Nah, we're
big fan. We're gonna give you those tickets.
I was gonna say I gotta sort those tickets out for him.
Vale, give us a free track.
We got something in the pipeline. Don't worry.
All right. So finish on, Mr. Braden Hardcastle, Daniel's new nemesis.
Yeah.
Hot take from you guys: Tom F1, James MotoGP, Dan World Superbikes. Discuss, lads. Shucky's emoji.
So me for MotoGP. Maverick Vinales doesn't deserve to be on a MotoGP grid.
Oh, Jim, that hurts me.
Yeah,
and I know he's on Fraud Watch, but that hurts.
He's done nothing on the. Maybe if it changed, as I said, if it was on the Suzuki, he blew up a Yamaha. He's done nothing on the Aprilia.
Yep,
I won a race, bro.
Don't even. He's going to a KTM. And he's not going to, where you could put a young talent on. I just don't think he's mentally there for it. And he shouldn't be on the grid.
I don't know, man.
He can't even attract sponsors, bruh.
Yeah.
That's my big hot
Daniel,
take.
Right. Daniel?
Toprak will go down as the greatest ever in World Superbike.
Jesus. Wow. So he's going to win multiple world titles.
Yeah.
On a BMW.
He's just that good.
He's that good.
And I think he would have sewn up the championship now.
That could affect his career though, an injury like that.
It could, but I don't think it will.
Hopefully not.
And if he should have made this move earlier. If he had made this move earlier, Bautista wouldn't have won two championships.
Yeah.
That's my hot take.
I love it.
Piastri needs to stop fighting with Norris and let Norris win the world championship.
Oh, you're such a fucking
low T.
Pussy.
I fucking hate you.
I had to say it. You're a laugh.
Come on, bar.
So actually serious, bar.
Oh.
Yeah, get out of the way, Oscar. Let him win.
I hate you so much.
Is that a good spot to end, boys?
Yep.
All right, thanks.
See you guys.